Happy to greet you tonight again in the name of the one who is alive forevermore and has the keys of hell and of death. I'm glad that those are in his hands and not in another's. Tonight we rejoice in that fact that we can trust our God and he can see us through in those, yes, even in the dark times of life. I'd like to sing our theme song again. You may stand for a change of position. It's number 104. I think we'll sing first, second, and last tonight. Look down at the pitch.
Oh, in looking through my tears one day, I saw Mount Calvary. Beneath the cross there flowed a stream of grace enough for me.
Turn with me tonight for a passage to preach from, to Psalm 51. Those of you who are familiar with the book of Psalms know that this is a passage that is a prayer of David's after he was approached by Nathan the prophet when he had been guilty of his sin with Bathsheba and what he had done to Uriah the Hittite, and was faced with that reality when Nathan the prophet was sent to him by the Lord and told him a story, and Nathan and David said, "Well, that man needs to be killed." And the prophet turned and said, "You're the man. You're the man." And David's response was, "I have sinned. I have sinned." And the prophet went on there and told him the consequences of that sin. There was a reaping that went on in David's life for many years, because of a failure that had happened prior to this. But we also see the mercy of God as we look in the Old Testament setting. The law said death, but the mercy of God forgave David and brought life. And tonight that is a blessedness as we think of God's goodness to us, even here today. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We could have gone further in 1 John. I appreciate the devotional emphasis in coming to Jesus as the light. And when we come to God, he certainly does bring light into our hearts and lives. Tonight I've titled the message, Brokenness Before God. And I would endeavor that we would understand that God's remedy for cleansing from sin is truly brokenness. There's none of us here tonight that are going to receive the blessedness of an eternal life with God who do not understand brokenness. It is not something that is just for some select few that have really done wrong, but it is something that is required for each one of us who have sinned and betrayed our God and must come to the place of brokenness before God if God is going to be able to grant us his forgiveness. I'd like to impress on our hearts that fact tonight. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of an humble and contrite heart, to revive the heart of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." We are blessed tonight to have a God that wants to descend and dwell with us. Wants to descend and dwell with us. Psalm 34 and verse 18, parallel passage to this, says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Over in Jeremiah 5 and verse 3, the prophet is crying out there because there's a different group of people he's relating to, and he says, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them. They have made their faces harder than a rock. they have refused to return. That verse is depicting the opposite side. When we are unwilling to be broken, that is the condition that God finds us in. Faces harder than a rock, refusing to return. They have not grieved. That word brokenness means to grieve. To grieve. If you look it up in Strong's, it's the idea behind this word broken, to grieve. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I'd like to read Psalm 51 at this time. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. As you view this passage of Scripture tonight, how important is brokenness in God's eyes? How important is it? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Why was God not interested in sacrifice? And why was he not interested in burnt offering in verse 16, but in verse 19 he is pleased with it? What is happening? Why the difference? The difference lies in the fact that David was guilty before God, and what God needed was a broken heart and a broken spirit in order for God to heal David's problem. Once that brokenness was before God, then God was ready to receive an offering. But the difference lied in the attitude and the heart condition, because it wasn't that God wasn't blessed by their offerings in the Old Testament. God was looking for an offering, but he wanted righteousness attached to it, or there was no value in that offering. Is this the kind of brokenness easily detected by God? Can God tell if we are truly broken? Can man tell if we are truly broken? You know, it evidences itself in the life when there has been brokenness and sorrow for sin and a repentance and turning from it. What does brokenness do for relationships that have been destroyed or are lacking greatly? What does brokenness do for it? You find a relationship tonight where there are struggles, and you find individuals that are willing to be broken, and God is willing to pour out some healing into that relationship. That's one of the first steps needed in order for healing, restoring of relationships. Brokenness lays the platform for relationships to be restored.
History throughout the pages of the
Scriptures, where there was brokenness, restoration in terms of relationship took place. Joseph and his brothers, what happened? When they were willing to be broken, there was a restoration in terms of that relationship. So true. Again and again, it lays a platform for restoration in terms of relationships. The scripture in the New Testament talks about those who are willing to fall on the rock and be broken. And it talks about those who aren't willing, and it says there's coming a day when the rock's going to fall on them and grind them to powder. That is a sobering verse. It helps us realize how God views it. He takes it very seriously. Does brokenness before God for our sin mean that we can avoid the possible reapings for such sin? We know in David's life it didn't. And yet we also could answer it with a yes in the fact that David was granted deliverance from some of the reapings. So it's like there's a twofold answer to that, depending which side you're looking on. But it is up to Almighty God in terms of how he deals with that all. Does this mean that we should have some kind of continual fascination with our past sins where we are continually bringing them up? That is not what we're focusing on tonight. That is not what the Christian life is all about, that we have some fascination with our past sins and so we continually bring them up, so we are broken in that sense continually. No, that is not what it's talking about. Is it possible tonight to say that I have sinned and even confess our sins publicly, maybe even with tears, and yet not experience true, genuine brokenness? I believe tonight the scripture teaches that it is possible. Judas did. He was very sorry that he had betrayed the Lord. He brought that money back to those elders and he threw it down right there in front of them. And he went out and hung himself. Did it help him? No, it didn't. We know the words of Jesus in terms of Judas. Esau did in Hebrews 12 and 7, verse 17. He says, though he sought it carefully with tears. King Saul said, I have sinned before Samuel that day when Samuel came to him and says, what is this that I hear in my ears? What's going on? Why haven't you fulfilled the word of the Lord like you say you have? And when he was put up against it, you know, he first of all blamed it on the people. The people did this. Then he says, I have sinned, yet honor me now and come, you know, have an offering. Honor me before the people. Also later in 1 Samuel 26 and verse 21, Saul said he had sinned. Balaam said it to God when he was face to face there with that donkey speaking to him while he was en route to go there, beg to come and curse Israel. And there he was en route doing something that God hadn't told him to go do. And the donkey spake, and that angel was, he saw that angel there with that sword ready to slay him. And he's not really penitent. He says, you know, I will turn around if you want me to. But he had a longing for that money that was offered him. Seems to be tied right in with that. Many others in Scripture that you could look at who said, I have sinned. And yet it seems like there was not true, genuine brokenness attached to those words. What is brokenness? Let's go through this passage here and look. What is brokenness? As Psalm 51 defines it. First one I see in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Brokenness is a tenderness towards God which softens our hearts towards truth, and which softens our hearts towards God himself. Have mercy upon me, O God. We need that tenderness of heart where God is precious to us, where God is our only source, our only hope. We need that tenderness towards God. rather than setting our face like a hard rock, like Jeremiah talked about, we need that tenderness towards God. That is brokenness, part of brokenness. In verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David was laying down his own rights.
I'm the king, so God make a difference for me.
But rather he was saying, wash me from my sin. He was saying, this is my iniquity and I need your remedy. I need your remedy. He laid down all of his own rights. He didn't say, God, I'm the king. Thirdly tonight, what is brokenness? In verses 3 and 4, we see that David is completely honest in his soul before God. Complete honesty of the soul before God and man. When Nathan came to him and Nathan brought that message, he said, I have sinned. And he accepted the personal responsibility for his wrongdoings. That's tied right in that with complete honesty of soul before God. It causes one to accept personal responsibility for their wrongdoings. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You are just, Lord. I am guilty. I am guilty. Also in that last part of verse 4, thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. An openness to the voice of God. Brokenness involves an openness to the voice of God. In verse 6, he says, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. That openness needed for the to the voice of God. A broken person is someone who takes the word of God and applies it to their own heart. We want to hear that voice of God. We want to respond to that voice of God. We see it as God speaking to us and showing us just who we are. And that's where David was. An openness to the voice of God when thou speakest. And he was desiring to know God's wisdom. Fifthly, what is brokenness? In 5 and verse A, the beginning of the verse, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. When we are done with trying to protect our own self-image, he had laid down all that self-image. He was done with trying to protect his self-image. No longer out to convince others how holy we are. David wasn't there. I was shapen in iniquity. He didn't portray himself as some righteous man trying to protect his own image, or it wouldn't have worked. There would have been no brokenness tied to it. Next thing I notice in the beginning of verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. What is brokenness? A desire to live by a clear conscience, or to have our conscience cleared. It's wonderful to have a clear conscience. It's wonderful to be able to live with a clear conscience. But you don't get that until you are willing to be broken and honest before God. Otherwise, we deal with the struggle of the conscience that God has placed within our hearts for a reason, to bring us back to Him. To bring us back to Him. Now we know in His Word, He talks about how we can sear our conscience, and that is a subject in itself. But here, as we think of this, David wanted that clear conscience. It says his bones, elsewhere in the Psalms, he said, his bones had waxed old through their roaring all the night long. He wanted that deliverance from that. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What is brokenness? It's a response of the soul that realizes God is my only source for spiritual cleansing. I say it's the response of the soul that realizes God is my only source for spiritual cleansing. Tonight you can pursue the route of personal resolve aside from God's way, and you will never end up clean before God. We must take God's way, and we must come to Him on His terms. And when we are broken, we're willing to do that, and we realize He is our only hope. He is our only source. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. David wasn't saying, God, I'll go do this, and I know that'll help solve my dilemma. No, he's saying, you need to cleanse me, Lord. You need to cleanse me. Verse 8. He talks here about the bones which thou hast broken, rejoicing. I see David accepting the discipline that God brought into his life. A broken person is willing to accept the disciplines that God brings into their lives. Those can be hard at times. But David was done with following his own way. He was broken before God, and he was willing to allow God to... Yes, he was willing to accept the discipline that God brought into his life, those bones which God had broken. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What is brokenness? When one seeks to live with pure motives. A clean heart, renew a right spirit. When one seeks to live with pure motives, oh, how we need that. We need God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Secondly, tonight I'd like to think a little bit about a couple barriers or hindrances to brokenness. Now, many of these we could just flip around. What are some hindrances or barriers to brokenness? Tonight, we will not find ourselves broken before God as we should be if we have a secret love for some sin. As long as we are nursing that secret love for some sin, we are not going to come to the place where God can work in our lives. Because brokenness is done with that secret sin. That's a barrier, a love for that secret sin. Balaam, I talked about earlier, he pursued that wealth that Balak offered him. And even though he wanted to die with the righteous and his last end be like his, you find him dying in battle against Israel in Scripture. It seems there was a direct tie that he had never really relinquished that and really wanted to identify with the people of God. He had a secret love for that. Secondly, another barrier or hindrance to brokenness is skirting the real sin problems by generalities rather than genuine and specific honesty. You know what I mean? Make a confession and you just go around in generalities rather than just saying, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. That'll keep us. You know, it's a way to protect self to just put it all in generalities rather than saying, here's what I'm guilty of. Saul did that in 1 Samuel 15. Thirdly, keeping the walls of self-defense and self-justification.
The Proverb writer says it
clearly. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. If we keep the walls of self-defense
and self-justification held high, we will not find ourselves broken before God. It will be a barrier to brokenness. Fourthly, believing I can somehow earn God's favor by trading some good deeds over here against these sins of mine over here. Tonight, we do not earn God's favor that way. Sacrifice and offerings were not what God needed right now. He wanted David's heart. He wanted it broken before him. That would be one way. If he just went and sacrificed and he just went and offered, you know, surely, you know, that burnt offering and those peace offerings and those all those offerings they were called to, wouldn't that appease God? No, he needed to deal with this over here. It was not sufficient. We have that somehow in our minds, and the human heart struggles with that, and we somehow think that we can do a trade out with God, but it doesn't work. It's a barrier that keeps us from brokenness. Lastly, tonight I would like to look at some blessings that are for those who mourn. You know, Jesus, the first words out of his mouth there on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What was he talking about? Going to a funeral and crying? No. He was talking about brokenness. Brokenness before Almighty God. And he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The divine comfort is the most wonderful thing you can experience in your life. The divine comfort. Notice here in verse 7. David was comforted because he could be cleansed. I shall be clean. Our sins are no longer held against us by God when we have been broken before God and repented of our sins. Our sins are no longer held against us by God. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful place to be. Secondly, another blessing. In verse 11 and verse 12, he talks about this idea. He presents this idea of God being present. He says, cast me not away from thy presence. One of the blessings for those that mourn is now there is a love for that divine presence to be within the heart. We want God within us. We want God near. As long as we're hanging on to sin, we want to hold God far away. We don't want him close. But when we have been broken before God, there is a love for God's presence within. That relationship has been restored, like we were pointed to there in 1 John. The purpose of Jesus coming to restore this relationship. No longer do we need to hide from God as Adam and Eve did after they had sinned. Now David is saying, cast me not away from thy presence, but rather restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The last part of that verse, tied directly together, true freedom can be ours, and divine support can be experienced. Notice what he says, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Uphold me with thy free spirit. There's a blessing attached to the deliverance from sin. He's saying, not only do I want your presence in my life, but I need the divine aid that you have to offer. I need your help, Lord. Uphold me with thy free spirit. True freedom can be ours, and divine support can be experienced. Our shield, we need, and our rock, yes, and our fortress, God, as we go through life. Fourthly, another blessing for those that mourn. In verse 13, he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
What is he saying here?
He's saying that true revival could break forth in his own life and he would turn into a revival in other people's lives. It would reach forth. He would be a testimony of God's goodness that would reach out and would touch other hearts. And that is what he calls us as people of God to. But you know, the only way that testimony really flows is when we understand brokenness. A person that has been broken before God and has had their sin problem cleansed, their sins that they are guilty of, dealt with, can go out and be a testimony, can point others to the light. And if there's a dynamic witness, it's someone like that whose testimony is alive. It's not a dead testimony when God has touched our own hearts and set us free. The story is told, I believe, of a missionary who had gone to visit a girls' camp in South America. And this was a group that in the past had been very rough. In fact, they were man-eaters, this group that had become converted. And he was impressed with this group as they expressed so clearly their love for the Lord and their turning to the one who could meet their every need. I'm trying to remember the song they sang. Slips my mind right at the moment. But the song clearly expressed, as they sang the song when he left from there, as they sang the song, expressed so clearly how God had set them free. And they were a bright testimony in that spot of the world. The difference that God had made in their lives. I say true revival can break forth from our lives, and our testimony can be alive. Yes, this is a blessing for those that mourn. In verses 14 and 15, worship and praise will flow out of the heart. Worship and praise will flow out of the heart. You find a person who can truly worship, and I'll dare say you cannot exempt them from having been broken before God. It has preceded that worship. You find a person who is truly thankful, and you'll find someone who knows what it's like to be delivered, and their thanksgiving rolls forth. Yes, worship and praise will flow out of the heart. Verse 17, I see assurance of salvation filling the life. Thou wilt not despise. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Many have struggled with assurance of salvation, and sometimes it is linked to brokenness. Not always, sometimes. But there is one thing tonight, that if we have been broken before God and we have told God our sins, then we can rest in this assurance. Thou wilt not despise. God does that because he loves us. And he wants us to know that we are his. But he only blesses that in the lives of people who know what it's like to be broken. That blessing is only for those who are broken. Lastly, in verses 18 and 19, we see that spiritual growth and an outflowing of righteous living will now truly be possible. Here's David. He's crying out, "Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks." You see, a spiritual growth and an outflowing of righteous living now is truly made possible. And God was now pleased with those offerings. They were important to God, but they needed to be preceded by brokenness in order for them to be pleasing to God.
And I'm so blessed as I think of that. God being pleased and being willing to help us grow spiritually in our desire for Him. And that there can issue out from our lives righteous living. Herein lies the problem tonight. Why so many Christians are experiencing a stagnant and a lukewarm experience. It might not have been because they were not broken initially. But brokenness is needed any time we sin before God. I believe there are levels of brokenness, you might say, but really and truly, is it not needed any time we are guilty of sin before God? Where we must humble ourselves before Almighty God so that God can pour out a blessing. Everywhere when you read there in Revelation 2 and 3, God is calling them back to repentance. And tied in with repentance is brokenness. You cannot separate the two. He says to Laodicean church, because they were lukewarm, he says, be zealous therefore and repent. Be zealous therefore and repent. And he says, open up that door to me, your heart's door, and I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. Tonight, if God is out there somewhere and we're lacking fellowship with Him, we need to check our hearts. We need to see whether there's some secret sin that we're holding on to in our lives. And it's keeping us from that love relationship growing. We need to be broken before God if He points out that sin to us, if there's sin we are guilty of, so that that relationship can be restored. God is in the healing business. God is in the restoring business. God is pleased with the sacrifice of a contrite and humble heart. Question is, where am I tonight? Where are you tonight? Are you holding out on God? Or are you willing to be done with that and allow God to truly be Lord of your life? Like to again open up an invitation hymn. If there's anyone here that knows God is speaking to your heart, and you've been holding out on God, and you're willing tonight to be broken before Him and deal with the sin that is besetting you in your life, it's your opportunity. God's Spirit is calling. We must respond. Shall we sing again, Just As I Am?
I am.